Overseas. I know them as Larry and Bonnie being here tonight. Many of you may not know, but the Carseys served with us in Kansas City. Pastor Carseys was our first youth pastor. And I'm telling you, part of the reason we have in the Herbster family what we have is because of the Carseys and the way they labored with us and inculcating into our children the right principles of God's Word, the right foundations of God's Word, and set a great example. And I'm so glad they've been able to come and minister with you at Harvest Hills as well, as our sons traveled through there many times in evangelistic work, and so grateful that his investment in our children allowed them to be reinvest in the local church there at Harvest Hills. Thank you for being back tonight. A little rainy day, a little cooler, but I'm glad you're back tonight, because in the rain, and you have a building, you better have a good foundation, right? We said last night, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And anytime you're going to have a good house, you have to have a good foundation. And tonight, we're going to start talking about those foundations that are so important in the home. And so I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When we talked about the roles of the husband, we talked, by the way, men, what is that role? Now, this was just yesterday, so I think you can handle it. What is the role? Two L's. There it is. The loving leader. That's what we need to be. Loving leaders. And if you want an assignment to memorize Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Did any of your husbands get a test today from your wife to see if you're going to love her unconditionally? Well, hopefully you'll do it no matter whether she tests you or not. And wives, it's a shh. You know, the meek and quiet spirit, shh, it'll be a what? For the wives' role. Submissive helper, right now. Boy, thank you very much for shouting that out, submissive helper. And of course, boys and girls, you're supposed to be what? You're supposed to be obedient and honoring. Obedient, honor. Obey, honor. Obey, honor. And so hopefully you'll remember those things as well. But all that came after Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. So I want us to lay the foundation for the home, the foundation for the family, in these verses tonight, starting in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to take this passage of Scripture and help us apply it to the home and making sure we understand what is the foundation that is necessary for us to build strong homes upon the solid rock. Right, boys and girls, you know the song? The wise man builds his house upon Come on, adults, you can help them out. Let's try it. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. And the rains came a-tumbling down. We've seen that, right? So the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came a-tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. So what's the lesson? So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all did a great job. And that's the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ being the living Word, the Bible being the written Word. And we have to make sure we have the right foundation for life, the right foundation for the home. And it all starts with the right priorities. It all starts with the right priorities. See that you walk circumspectly. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the psalmist says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. You'll not know the number of times now in the Herbster household when all of a sudden somebody will say, Papa, remember. Papa, remember. And they put their hand out. And when they're putting their hand out, they're reminding me of the priorities that I have established for our home that sometimes maybe I'm not applying properly. You say, what are you talking about? Well, how many of you have a hand? I see it. Well, when I look at my hand, it reminds me of my biblical priorities, what God's will is in this matter, and how I should redeem the time that I have with my family and with the ministry and keep everything in the proper order. Because when I look at my hand, there's one thumb going up. What's that mean? It means I have to have, first of all, a right relationship with God. Nothing else matters if I don't have a right relationship with God. And how do you have a right relationship with God? Through the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only way we get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? And so, there's no other way. Isn't it amazing how today everybody's saying we're all going to get there one way or the other? No, we're not. The only way you're going to get there is through Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never had that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, well then, you're not on your way to heaven. And tonight would be a great night for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He is the only way. And you need to have a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then these fingers represent some of my human relationships. And you know, my number one human relationship is my family. It's my home. It's number one. And of course, we talked yesterday, it starts with my marriage. And I repeat it again, the best thing you can do for your children is have a good marriage and have a good relationship with your spouse. But my family is my number one priority. It's not the ministry or the church. As a matter of fact, there was a day when you'd have preachers kind of discussing, well, what comes first, the ministry or the family? And, you know, some were saying, hey, if you take care of the ministry, God will take care of your family. How many of you read 1 Timothy 3? You know what it says in 1 Timothy 3? You know, what's a qualification for being a pastor? One that rules his own house well. Doesn't that kind of tell you what your priority is? You have a priority over the church. Even as a pastor of a local church, I had my first responsibility was to my family. And I tried to practice that. And not always was I as successful as I needed to be, but that was my goal. Family first. And for all of us, as we have a right relationship with God, then our first priority is to have a right relationship our home. And to accomplish that, you need a good local church. That's this priority right here, the local church. And thank you for being faithful to the local church. This is a great attendance on Monday night as I looked at yesterday morning and then Sunday night and now tonight. Hallelujah, you're being faithful to the local church. And the family needs to be involved in a local church. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, listen to this next phrase, Hebrews 10:25. Even the more, right? Did your Bible say that? Even the more as we see the day approaching. So then why are churches canceling services? Aren't we getting closer to the day of Jesus Christ? Then if we're going to do it even the more, it seems like maybe we should be having more services. And aren't you glad you're in a church that's having more services Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night? And hope you'll be here every night. But the church is very important. Having a right relationship with God first, with your family, in the church. And yes, we need to have a job. You know, we're supposed to work. If you don't work, you're not supposed to eat, according to the Bible. Now, I know, we talked last night about government, and government hasn't got that story. They tried one time, you know, when they did have a Welfare Reform Act. I remember being involved in that with our senator, Senator Ashcroft, as he was a part of that, to getting that in. But that got thrown out by future administrations. But the Bible says if you don't work, you're not supposed to what? And why do we work? We work so we can take care of our family and we can give to our local church. That's why we work. So that we have what we need to for our family, but what we need for the local church. And remember, the tithe is the Lord's. I didn't hear too many amens on that one. I believe that. You know, so in other words, 10% is going to the Lord's work because He's my highest priority. And so I need to live on at least on the 90% for my family, and I'd like to see you give a little bit more than 10% to your local church. Especially some of us that our children are grown. I remember wondering how I was going to pay college bills when our three sons went off to college, and I saw the difference in our food bills, and I said, hey, maybe there's hope. Of course, if you know our sons, you probably understand. You said, where did they get it? Well, if you watch me, you know where they got it. But I'm saying our priority is God, so the tithe is the Lord's. We have it to take care of our family. And we said yesterday, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an, and you've denied the faith. But we need to be given more. Tithe is just a start. You can't outgive God. And so give unto your local church. And that's why we have a job. But your job should not take priority over your God. Your job should not take priority over your family. Your job should not take priority over your local church. And sad to say, sometimes it does, and then we wonder why our homes are all messed up. We got our priorities all messed up. We're not walking circumspectly. We're not understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're not redeeming the time, realizing the days that are evil. Then you see this little tiny finger here? You know what? You know who that little tiny finger represents? I know Abby's smiling at me. She knows. Who's it represent, Abby? Yourself. This is me. And it's not me first. It's me last. You know, the last shall be first. You know, we're to serve others. You know, that's what our job is all about. If we're going to be like Christ, and we said our goal is to be Christ-like, well, what did Jesus do? He picked up a towel, He washed dirty feet, and He says, I've given you an example that you should do likewise. You should be interested in serving others. Not me first, but me last. And God exalts you in due season. And that's right. But you know what's in the world today? Just the opposite. Right? Have you not seen it? Who's first? In the world, I'm saying. Not here. Hopefully not in your life. Who's first? Me first. Then I'll get a job. And maybe I'll go to church if it'll help me with my job with contacts, you know, so I have some people that I can fleece once in a while for myself. And family? Who needs a family? You know, and down with God. Who needs God? By the way, we all need God. And this world has got the priorities upside down, but sad to say, sometimes we in the church, we that know Jesus Christ, have our priorities upside down as well, or at least messed up. And so every once in a while, my children, my grandchildren, and even once in a while my wife has to go and remind me. And maybe this will remind you that you need to have your steps ordered by the Lord. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is. You need to redeem the time. Cherish the moment. You children grow up very quickly. And it's very important for you to have that quality time with your children. The right foundation is having the right priorities. You've got to have that foundation of proper priorities. But let me give you a second thought. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine with excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The second thing, the second foundation you need to understand is you have to have the right power. You have to have the right priorities, but you also have the right power. The power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know in this day and age, a lot of people are shying away from the Holy Spirit because there's a lot of false teaching about the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? We have to be careful of false teaching, but I'm telling you something. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to accomplish the work of God. And just because there's some people who have perverted the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, let's make sure that we don't somehow eliminate the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked yesterday about that indwelling, and I challenged you and asked you, when do you receive the Holy Spirit of God? I think you all got it right, right? When does a person receive the Holy Spirit of God? When does that take place? At the time of?
Salvation.
Yep, you remembered. It's a time of salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Now, here's a tougher question for today. When do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been baptized in the Spirit of God? You know, some people try to make it spooky, you know, when you got to get baptized in the Spirit of God. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God? And you know what you should say? You don't know. Yes! I have. Of course, the next thing they want to say, well, do you speak in tongues? Well, I say yes in about four different languages. I can say see and yah and you know, all the other things that are out there. But people are so confused. The baptism in the Holy Spirit isn't some second blessing that's evidenced by the speaking in tongues. That's the speaking in tongues were languages, not utterances. It was the United Nation without electronics. Are you familiar with the United Nations? They put all the headsets on and everything. Of course, now with the war in Ukraine going on, and Zelensky many times given speeches, and everybody has their headsets on so they can under... By the way, God didn't need electronics. It was a special gift given to make sure that everybody knew that the message of Jesus Christ and the message of the apostles was true. It was given to verify the message of the apostles. I one time said it was at Tri-City. It was given to authenticate. Thank you. My wife knows what it is because she corrected me later. I authenticated over the church the whole service on Sunday morning, and then at the dinner table, you know, as good wives do, preacher's wife Bonnie, you probably do this too. You know, Larry shaking his head. She said, "Carl, you know, that was really a great message. You really emphasized the importance of sign gifts, and they were given to authenticate the message of the apostles. But could you tell me where you got the word authenticate?" And I said, "Well, to verify, to prove, you know." And she says, "No, it's not authenticate. It's..." I was stupid enough to go get a dictionary to prove her wrong. Pride goeth before a fall. And I had to go back on Sunday night, and I did this. I went back on Sunday night and apologized to the church for authenticating all over them because I didn't want the boys and girls to think, you know, here's Dr. Herbster, you know, is talking about authenticating. Maybe we've been saying it wrong all these years. No, I wanted to make sure they knew they were. The only problem was not everybody came back on Sunday night, so, oh, I don't know who's authenticating around the world today because of me. But the point is, it was to verify the message of the apostles. The Bible wasn't written yet. We don't need sign gifts today. Because all we have to do is go to the Bible and say, what does God say? We verify what God says with the Scriptures. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to see this because some of you may have some confused charismatic friends. Because there's a lot of them in our society today. And a lot of them genuinely are confused because they've never heard anything else. But look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we, what's the next word? All who? But all, excuse me, I didn't, but who is that all referring to? All who? All believers, because this whole book was written to believers. So all Christians are baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. The Bible says when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were made one with Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because God doesn't see me in my sin. He sees Jesus Christ in His perfection, in His shed blood. That's why I get to go to heaven. The word baptized means immersed. I was immersed into the body of Christ. And He has become sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God through Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And so, anybody ask you if you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you tell them yes, take them to this verse. And by the way, if they want to talk to you about tongues, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And look at verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. They're one of the sign gifts. There's more than just tongues, but they're one of the sign gifts. But they are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, do you know what the modern charismatic movement tells you today? That tongues are a sign to who? To the church, to believers. To believers that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. It says they're a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Sad to say, sometimes I'll share this to some charismatics and they'll say, well, I don't know what the Bible says, but I've experienced it. That's a big problem. You don't live by experience, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ and from His written word. The Bible is our basis, not your experience. So there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, there is what we read here, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the way for you to understand the filling is to see what he said at the beginning of the verse. Be not drunk with wine. Now come back tomorrow night, I'm going to tell you not even to drink wine. Somebody say, I'm not coming back then. I don't want to hear about that. I mean, it's sad to say, but there are people today, even in the body of Christ, that are starting to say it's okay to drink alcohol as long as you don't get drunk. Not true. So be back tomorrow night. We're going to talk about some important biblical truths for the family. And so I hope you're back. But for the sake of tonight, he's saying, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by the alcohol. Have you ever been around a drunk? I told you I spent 7 years in the business world, and I saw people drunk with wine, saying things and doing things they'd never do if they were in their right mind. They were under the control of the alcohol. And some of you maybe had to even live with it in your homes and in your families. How tragic. And you know what I'm talking about when somebody is under the control of alcohol. And what God is saying here, don't be under the control of any outside substance. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you ought to be, controlled by the Spirit of God. That you're allowing your life be controlled by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, for the glory of God. And boy, if we're going to have the right homes, we have to have the right power. And the power is the Holy Spirit of God. I heard a very wonderful illustration one time that's been a real help to me. It's the illustration of a cup that's full of something. Now, we were talking over supper. Is it soda? Is it pop? Is it Coke? What is it here? You know, everybody has all these different things that they talk about. Well, whatever it is, my favorite soda pop is Diet Coke, not Diet Pepsi. Now, if you're a Pepsi generation, shame on you. I'm going to stick with the pure drinks, Diet Coke. And so let's just assume I have a cup up here full of Diet Coke, all right? It's full to the rim with Diet Coke. And I asked my wife to come up here and hassle me a little bit. Like I told you yesterday, not very often does she do that, but she's submissive to my leadership. And so if I said, come up here and hassle me, push me around a little bit, give me a rough time, she would do it. And by the way, she could do it. But she's not going to. This is just for illustration, all right? It's full of what? And so she starts pushing me around and starts giving me a rough time. And all of a sudden, stuff starts flowing out. What flows out of the cup when she's hassling me and pushing me around? Oh, you're sharp. It's true. Okay, now take this illustration. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit and my wife's hassling me and giving me a rough time, or better yet, my children, right? Or somebody else in the church, or somebody at work that really gets under my skin and they're giving me a rough time and shaking me up. If I'm full of the Spirit, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, the fruit of the Spirit. What does come out sometimes in our homes? What does come out sometimes in our churches? The Bible says that we're not to have bitterness and anger and wrath and evil speaking, but we're to love one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Every newlywed, here's a future newlywed couple back here. Ben, it's one of your memory verses, Ephesians 4:32, okay? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can operate that way without the Holy Spirit of God, without the power of God. So therefore, I tell people to spiritually breathe. How many of you breathe? Please, keep it up. And if you stop breathing, what happens to you? Can I say, spiritually speaking, if we stop breathing spiritually, sometimes we're going to spiritually die? What is it? Breathing is two parts. What are the two parts? Inhale and exhale. So I tell myself and others, I say, inhale the power of the Spirit. Ask God, pray, ask God to fill you with the Spirit and exhale sin. How many of you are sinners? May I see your hands? How many of you are saved sinners? May I see your hands? But how many of you are saved sinners still sin? Well, it's one of the things with new Christians, you have to help them to understand. Just because you're saved from your sin doesn't mean you're not going to sin again. And we're all in that process. So what do? We confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, you have not because you ask not. And if you pray anything in my will, that will I do. Does God want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does God want me to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, then pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I mean, how many times have I been in my mind, Lord, I'm starting to get a little upset here. I don't think I'm going to respond properly. Please help me not to be, you know, that's a part of life. And we need the Holy Spirit to control us so that we don't lose our testimony, so we don't destroy our family, so we are shedding the light abroad of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need to have the right priorities. We need to have the right power. But then we also have to have the right practices. Because he goes on and says in verse 19 through 21, let's read it again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Can I tell you something, just transparently and from the bottom of my heart? You know, folks, if you're going to really make a difference in your home, next to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, are you listening? The most important influence in the life of your children, your family, the church, is music. May I say that again? Next to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Parallel passage to this one. You know, I can't explain it, but I'm glad I learned it early in our lives. Not because I knew it, but because others loved me enough to tell me how important music was in the life of an individual, in the life of a family. I knew there was something wrong when we bought this first children's album as we were new Christians and Matthew was coming along. We said, we need to get, how many of you know albums? I shouldn't have said albums. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a round thing. It's got a hole in the middle of it. You know what I'm talking about, an album? Okay, good, good. Some of you know, young people, I'm sorry. Let your parents explain it to you later, okay? But we got this album, a Christian album, so that our son could learn some of these songs and everything. And on the album was the song, This Little Light of Mine. How many of you have ever heard the song? You know, nothing wrong with the song as far as I know. And so we had our three sons sitting there listening to this this album, This Little Light of Mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Get your lights up, come on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it. Amy's already going around the neighborhood, letting it shine. Good for you. Evangelistic wife you have there, Chuck. It's great. Hey, and the song was fine. Our sons were sitting there nice and calm and under control. But just some modern songs do even today, every verse changed. And the second verse was, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. Before it was all over, it's this little light of mine, boom, boom, I'm boom, 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 boom. And you know what happened to our three sons? The guys that were sitting there nice and calm and under control, they were jumping all over the room. They were going crazy, boogieing up and down and all around. I mean, it was crazy. And I didn't have all the teaching that I have today, but I knew there was something wrong with that music. I knew it. Later, I learned what was wrong with that music. But I'm telling you, folks, the words did not change. It was the music. And that's why God says, look at this passage. Compare it with Colossians 3:16. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and, what's the next word? Why did God have to say spiritual songs if music is immoral? And that's what people are teaching today. And it's destroying individuals, it's destroying homes, it's destroying churches. Because supposedly there's no right and wrong in music. Now, my friend, we may disagree on what's right and wrong in music. When I taught this in seminary, I said, there's everything from rock to Bach. And somewhere there's a line that we shouldn't cross, you know. But maybe we don't know exactly where that line is. But we need to be careful to make sure that we stay pleasing the Lord with our music. And we stay as far away from the world's music as possible. Because it has a major impact on you. It has a major impact upon your family. And boy, plenty of studies done. I mean, talk to my sons. They know a lot more about the details of it. Talk to the majesty. Some of the different people that are out there that are doing great jobs teaching. But I've just watched it by illustration. As I've traveled to hundreds of churches and many Christian schools, you show me churches that are using good music, I'll show you good young people. You show me churches that are using Christian rock music, I'll show you bad young people. And may I say something to you? There isn't such a thing. I know, I'm getting radical now. But if it's Christian, it won't be rock. And if it's rock, it's not Christian. That's a line I can tell you very clearly you've crossed in this whole realm of music. And if you're going to, you know, you should have good Christian music play in your homes. Although you say, yeah, you're selling CDs out there. I know what you're doing. You're setting me up, aren't you? I don't care whose CDs they are, if they're Christ-honoring music. You just need to have that playing. Get your children involved in Christ-honoring music. What a ministry you can give them, where they can be used of the Lord in ministry. Take the responsibility we have as parents to have the right practice in our home. Keep the wrong kind of music out of your home. Put the right kind of music in your home. He also says, you should be making melody in your heart to the Lord. You should be a home of joy. You should be a home of praise. I don't know if you noticed in the third verse of A Christian Home, it talked about that matter of praise. You know, we should have a joyful home. A home that our young people want to be in. Where a good word is fitly spoken. We're not just punishing them, we're praising them. And the importance of giving them compliments. It should be a joyous home, a Christ-honoring home. It should be a thankful home. Look what it says in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all to the glory of God. I am what I am by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul said. And we need to be constantly thanking God and thanking others, realizing that every good and perfect gift cometh from who? The Father up above. May I say something to you? It's only by the grace of God that any of our children turn out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of them have a free will. And they leave our homes. And we can't force them to do right. But you know who can? God can work on them. And we need to thank God for the opportunity we have to raise them. We ought to need to thank God for when our children are doing right and give Him the glory for it. And then finally, he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We need to have a home that is submissive one to another. We have the right type of submission in our home. Do you know, we always talk about the wife submitting to the husband, but it's okay for the husband to submit to the wife and do what she wants sometimes. It's all right for the dad to submit to the children. We had in the Herbster household a family night every Monday night. It all started because of a guy by the name of Guy Altizer. Some of you may know him. When I was doing my doctoral studies in Greenville, I'd go out in visitation with him, and he'd say to me, he said, Carl, when's your family night? And I'd say, well, every night is family night in the Herbster household, Guy. You know, it's supposed to always be about, you know, getting my priorities right, trying to be spiritual. And he said, no, get off your high horse, Carl. He said, just tell me, when is the night that your family knows they get you 100%? I said, oh, I don't know exactly. I hope they think they can get me anytime, you know, priorities. And them, you know, He said, go home and talk to your family. You know, they bought into that program. They decided they wanted to have a night that we just set up that was priority to them. And you know, in the midst of that, I wasn't the one always saying what's going to happen. I was willing to let them plan. Let them make ideas, you know. And I submitted to some of the things they wanted to do. Now, I was very thankful that they were sports fans, and the Royals had family nights on Monday and Thursday nights, and it was half price, and my wife went along and popped the popcorn, and we had. But all I'm saying to you is, listen, we had family meetings in the Herbster household. They never knew what they were all about. Sometimes they were just to talk about vacations or talk about family nights or talk about what we might want to do or what's going on in their lives. And sometimes it was, I need to talk to you about some problems we're facing. And how are we going to work together to solve these and to get it accomplished? You mean the home has to work together. And we have to all be a part of it, seeking to submit, first of all, to God, our right priority, and then one to another in the fear of the Lord, realizing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And oh, how we need wisdom for our homes. There's the foundation of the right priorities. There's the foundation of the right power. There's the foundation of the right practices. And tomorrow night, I hope you'll be back, because there's the foundation of the right principles. Let me just tell you this. The Bible speaks to every issue. Every issue. And not always does it speak to it, thou shalt or thou shalt not, but it'll speak to it in biblical principles. General truths from which we make specific applications. Every issue. And there's four main principles that I've taught my family that they need to evaluate every issue through these four principles. And it's a part of the foundation that we need to have, the right biblical principles, so that we can make the right biblical decisions. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow night to hear of that final foundation, the foundation of the right biblical principles. Thank you, Father, for another good night together. Thank you for the attentiveness of these folks. And thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing your word and studying your word and following your word. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to take these truths and apply them to our individual homes, that we might build our homes on the solid rock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.